Good morning. And today is the last Sunday of 2020. And I get to preach the last sermon of the year. I've called this sermon Sila, Stop and Reflect. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I just want to ask, how was your Christmas? Maybe you want to post on the live stream. Just let us know how you managed and what was special of it, regardless of the difficult circumstances we are facing at this time. I think we can still, we still had the opportunity to celebrate the birth of Christ and all that that entails for us who believe, but also for the entire world. Also, what are you looking forward to in 2021? What would be your prayer for this coming year, for you, for your family, so forth? Again, you can post those things. The word sila, it's a Hebrew word. Really, we're not exactly sure what it means. It is found 74 times in the Old Testament. 71 of those times, it's actually found in the book of Psalms. And the other three times it is in the book of Habakkuk. But this seems to be a word that is related to perhaps a musical term. Sometimes in some Bibles it comes across as interlude or pause. I'd like to probably see it as a word that simply means pause and reflect. And as you read through the Psalms that have this word, you will see that there's declarations that are being made. And then in the middle of nowhere, it seems, you have this word, sila. And I think it's an invitation to stop, to ponder what we have just read, what we have just prayed, what we have just sung. And so I think it's a really good opportunity for us in this last Sunday of the year to stop and reflect. Of course, 2020 has been a really difficult year for all of us. For some of us, it was potentially going to be a difficult year before any of this COVID-19 stuff ever came around. Maybe our health, our jobs, changes in relationships. Maybe we were moving or finished school. We're joining the workforce. It was not looking as an ideal year. For some of us, maybe it was actually looking as a great year. And then COVID came. And then everything changed. Life as we knew it was altered significantly. So in addition to working from home or maybe loss of jobs, children at home, full-time online schooling, not being able to travel to do those vacations that we wanted to do, especially international travel, things like that, it's been hard. For some, it's been it resulted in financial difficulties. For others, in relational challenges. For others, it just made an existing health condition really hard. And for some, it's really taken a toll in their mental health. And all of these are situations we didn't expect. Of course, that the whole world is in a bit of a mess economically, politically. The introduction of the vaccine, of course, is giving us some amount of hope and so forth. So I'm like you. I think I am just really happy that this year is coming to an end. But in light of what has happened in this year, and in the fact that we don't know what's happening the coming year, I want to give us three scriptures that I hope will help us. That will help us maybe not necessarily make sense, but find stability in the year that is just ending. And giving us hope and perspective for the year that we are about to enter. Those three passages are Lamentations 3, verses 19 to 26. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, and then Habakkuk 3, verses 16 to 19. I think it's important that we take a look at these things. And in the book of Lamentation, the prophet Jeremiah, it has been been revealed to him that a new power is going to invade his country and take them into captivity. Of course, that was the Babylonians. And as he looked back and realized that the people of God had not honored God, had not lived the way he had wanted to, and that as a result of them forgetting the goodness of God, the love of God, the principles that God had given them to live by, because they forgot all of that, their punishment is that they were going to be taken away and into exiles, into another country. And as he sees this about to happen, he begins to realize, wow, this is not looking good. And yet in the middle of all of that, he finds hope in God's faithfulness. Listen to the words. Again, I read from chapter 3, verses 19 on. The prophet says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. He's sad. He's potentially experiencing some depression. He is seeing how difficult this is going to be. And in the middle of this dark, dark season, perhaps the darkest season that the people of God experienced since their time in Egypt, the prophet says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, he declares. Because of that, he continues, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. And he concludes, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I find it really fascinating and encouraging, and maybe a little bit of a rebuke, that in the midst of his own difficulty personally and this great tragedy for the whole people of God at this time in their history, that despite everything that he sees is about to happen, he looks back and he says, I see that God has been faithful to us. His love is great. His loving kindness, his mercy, his faithfulness, they are new every morning. I don't have reason to doubt who God claims to be and all he claims to be to us. So because of that, I have hope. Because of that, I will wait quietly. That means patiently, trustingly, for the salvation of the Lord to come. And friends, in 2020, this has been the experience for many of us where we have had to wait quietly, patiently for the salvation of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, check out that little book of Lamentations and look at the context in which the prophet makes this declaration. But once again, that it is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we have not been consumed. I think we can agree wholeheartedly with the prophet that it is because of that same goodness of God that 2020 has not overwhelmed us to a point beyond being able to cope. So I want us to remember that scripture. Second scripture I want us to remember is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And this is what I call the always, never, all principle. I'll repeat it again. The always, never, all principle. Why do I call it that? Well, listen to the words of St. Paul to this church. He says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. That is the New Living Translation. Again, so what's the always? Always be joyful. I don't know about you. I can be joyful some of the time when things are going well, when I'm doing good. I can be joyful. But always being joyful is a bit of a challenge. It is for me. Maybe it's not for you. But the encouragement, the command is to be joyful always. Secondly, the Apostle Paul says, never stop praying. Again, I'm not sure what your experience is with praying. I have found that there are times when praying is easy, whether because things are going really well, or sometimes because I have a great need, or I'm dealing with a difficult situation in my life or in the life of the congregation. And so I find it, it pushes me to pray. But then there are other times when prayer is hard, when prayer just seems like the last thing on my agenda of things to do that day. And so I must listen to the words of the apostle that says, never stop praying. And thirdly, he tells the church in Thessalonica, and he tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. Again, it's not the being thankful part that is difficult. It's the being thankful in all circumstances. It's easy to be thankful when my health is good, when my job's stable, when my relationships are healthy and life-giving, when the weather is nice, when everybody's nice and things are going really, really well. But considering the year we've just had, where things, many of those things that normally go normal, have been so difficult, so different, I found it hard to give thanks in all circumstances. And yet this is the encouragement. This is that command. This is the injunction on those of us who, as the apostle says, belong to Christ Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our hope. He's the one who sustains us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who gives us peace. He's the light in our darkness. And because we belong to Him, His will for us is not the circumstances we're going through, but His will is that we always be joyful, that we never stop praying, and that we give thanks in all circumstances. I pray that these words will encourage you, will challenge you, will light a fire in your heart to do exactly as we are encouraged to do. And the last scripture that is found in a little book called Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. And this particular passage, Habakkuk, encourages us to trust God in the worst of circumstances. And actually, I must make a correction here. When I spoke of lamentations, it's not Jeremiah that saw what was about to happen. It's Habakkuk. It's Habakkuk who saw that the Judah, the southern part of the kingdom of God in that time, that they were going to be invaded and taken captives, that the whole city, nation was going to be destroyed, their temple was going to be destroyed, and they would be taken off as slaves. So again, just remember, it is Habakkuk who sees this, and he writes this little book. Habakkuk is one of these books that we refer to as the minor prophets. Now, minor, not because what they wrote was insignificant, but because their writings are typically very, very short compared to what we call the major prophets. But let us read these verses. Again, he is seeing what is about to happen. And he says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quiver at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs tremble. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. So he is seeing that this is about to happen. And he says, I know that it will happen, but I will wait for when they get repaid for what they have done. But again, he continues, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Isn't it phenomenal? And this is what I want us to catch out of this particular passage. He is saying, when everything is as bad as we could possibly imagine, when everything falls apart, when there's no reason that would normally prompt us to give thanks to God because He provides for us food to eat, He provides protection, He watches over us. When all of that is missing, when all of that is gone, He says, yet I will thank the Lord. Yet I will praise Him. Yet I will put my hope in Him. I will find my strength in Him. Friends, I'm sure that you have found it like I have, that 2020 has drained our strength, our physical strength, our emotional strength, and yes, even our spiritual strength, to the point that sometimes we don't know what to do, to the point that sometimes we wonder where God is. We ask God, why are you letting this happen? Why is this happening to me? Why do I feel this way? And those questions are okay to ask, and those questions are okay to wrestle with. But at the end of the day, we need to, by faith, make a transition exactly to what Habakkuk says. Despite the fact that the crops fail, that there's no cattle in the stalls, that everything I've perceived to be God's blessing, if that is taken away, even then I will praise Him. Even then I will hope in Him. Even then I will find my strength. And God surely in time will strengthen me and make my feet like a deer that is able to climb difficult terrain to the heights. That is an invitation for all of us in these difficult times. So by way of conclusion, here's my encouragement to each one of us on how to prepare for 2021. Number one, let's remember God's faithfulness to us in 2020 and in all of our years. I do not think that any one of us today could say, you know, I remember the day, the year, the week, the month when God wasn't faithful to me. Never. He has always been faithful. His goodness, His mercies are new every morning. So remind yourself again and again and again. And this is one of the things we're going to do, of course, on the 31st in the virtual testimony service that we're going to have, is to remember and encourage one another by sharing God's faithfulness to us over the course of this year about to end. So remember the past. Secondly, rejoice. Rejoice. And I do sincerely believe that rejoicing has to do with living in the present and in the circumstances that we find ourselves in, whatever they are, to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. The present is a time to build new memories, new recollections for the future, to look back and say, God was faithful to me in the most challenging circumstances. And years down the road, if the Lord tarries, we will look back to 2020 and say, wow, we made it because of God. So let's rejoice as much as that is hard to do. And lastly, and this again are based on the scriptures that I read, but let's recommit. Let's recommit to the future, come what may. I don't know what 2021 holds. I don't know when this COVID thing and restrictions and all of that are going to finally go away. I don't know when we're going to be able to gather. I don't know when we're going to be able to travel. I don't know when we'll be able to return to full in-person services like we had before. I do not know. But one thing I do know, because scripture tells us again and again, that God will be with us. And so we can be like the prophet who looked into the future and saw this terrible season that would come upon them. Almost 70 years it turned out to be. And yet despite that, or maybe because of that, he could say, I will hope in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. And even if everything goes awfully wrong, I will recommit myself to loving and serving Him and to trust in Him. So I invite us, let's remember, let's rejoice, and let's recommit as we finish this year and enter the year to come. Allow me to pray. Father, thank you that as we look back at 2020, so many surprises we didn't expect, most of them not very pleasant. But through it all, we can look back and see that you have been faithful to every one of us. Thank you for that. Lord, forgive us that we are not rejoicing very much. Some of us, at least, are not rejoicing very much these days because things have been difficult. But help us to rejoice because you are with us and because you are looking after us. Thank you that you are in control, that you have a plan. That gives us cause to rejoice. And lastly, dear God, we make a recommitment to you, to love you, to love one another, to love people, and to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, all of our strength into the coming year. None of us knows what awaits us, but we do know that you are good. And because of that, we can look forward to this coming year with expectation. Thank you so much. We bless you and we honor you. And Father, as the pastor of Devon Community Church, I pray blessing and favor upon the lives of all our congregation. In the name of Jesus, amen.